Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hi there, it's Aluna Michaels, Esoteric Astrologer, coming to you for our October radio show. Hello, everybody. Okay, so here's what I would like to cover in this hour. Because October mostly is the month for Libra, we'll talk about the sign of Libra and also the ruling planet of Libra, which is Venus. And, of course, we'll be talking a lot about relationships because that's a lot of what that's about. And then we're going to address some questions people have sent me and talk about some pop culture kind of things that relate to relationship stuff that might illuminate some questions that you may have. So, okay, let's start with Libra. Okay. As you know, Libra happens from, let's say, roughly September 23rd to October 22nd or so, 21st. And so we're right in there. And, you know, what's funny to me is because Libra is, if you can understand this, there's 12 signs in the zodiac, Aries being the first one, and Libra is the seventh one. So Libra, let's say, is the first sign that has an opposite. You know, the first six are just doing their thing. And then when you get to Libra, the opposite is Aries. And Aries itself is so like, me, yes, go, woo, you know, that Libra is more about you, what are you doing, you know, and the awareness of the other, which is fabulous because that makes Libra people very compassionate, aware of others, and not that Aries are selfish or something, but it's just the focus is on the other person when you're a Libra. That's a lot of what Libra's about. So that's great in one way because, you know, Libras smile a lot and they want to make people feel good and things like this, but then that can get into, you know, a codependent sort of thing or not knowing what they want. One of my best friends is a Libra. I myself am an Aquarius, but my moon sign is Libra. My rising sign is Libra. So I'm a lot like a Libra, but not all the way. And when we were younger, we'd go to the movies, and she'd say, what do you want to see? I'd say, I don't know. What do you want to see? And she'd go, I don't know. What do you want to see? I said, okay, I'm moving out of Libra. I'm going to make the decision, or else we'll stand here all night, you know, because I want her to be happy. She wants me to be happy. Well, I want you to be happy. Well, wait, someone has to make a decision. And so that can lead into, I mean, on one level, Libra really is very caring about, I really want that other person to be happy. But when Libras do that a lot, that can come down to, well, I shouldn't express my true feelings because that's going to squelch somebody else's self-expression. And that can build up a lot of anger. And then Libras can have funny ways of getting their needs met. Linda Goodman, who's a famous astrologer, said Libra was iron fist in velvet glove. And that they have a way of getting their needs met, that they manipulate people that's kind of gentle, but they somehow work it around because they have to get creative of being assertive. And so one of the spiritual lessons for Libra is learning to know, first of all, what they want, because some Libras are so used to putting everyone else first, they don't even know what they want. So that's a big step for Libra to say, I want this, I like this. And then to be able to have that be okay if somebody wants something else. Libra's so much about harmony. Let's take that example of the movie, you know, that that my friend Marion, being a Libra, you know, if she says, I want to see the romantic comedy, and I say, well, I want to see the action movie, then that's okay. That's okay that there's a, quote, conflict, you know, and the solution could be, you know, we see the romantic comedy this week, next week we'll see the action movie or something, or that if I say, oh, okay, I'll see the romantic comedy, you know, the Libra person can feel like, oh no, this person's not happy in this movie, I should have went to the other one. And it's like, it's okay, there's a, you know, that learning for Libras in a relationship, there's conflict that can be moved over, that the compromise can occur instead of feeling anxious, oh, no, I asserted myself. What is the other person thinking? I have to make it up to them that they did it my way. So it's important for Libra to be able to accept, like once they state what they want, that they deserve to have what they want and not feel guilty about that. So that's just an important balance. And also Libras can collect people around them. This is on the other side. Let's say with my friend Marion, she could have a bunch of friends that do get angry. And so she says, okay, I'll never ask to see their magic comedy. I'll do whatever they want because if I assert myself, I'm just going to pay later. Well, sometimes Libras need to look when they do start asserting themselves that they may have collected people around them that are used to them being pushovers. And when they start growing spiritually, Libra can say, well, you know, I have to say, it's going to be my way 50% of the time now. It never used to be. It used to be your way most of the time. And you have to make sure you have attracted people as a Libra that do want to compromise, you know, because if they don't, it's like, oh, this person was taking advantage of my good nature. So that's part of that healing from codependence that Libra has. Another major part of Libra is, because Libra is the scales, it's the addiction to drama. In spiritual and esoteric principles, there's a term about the opposites, you know, that we're in the third dimension, which is the opposites. You know, you're happy, you're sad, you're rich, you're poor, there's pleasure, there's pain, you know, hot, cold, I'm in love, I hate, all this stuff is the opposites. So esoterically, Libra is the sign that works on balancing the opposites. And if we want to go deeper about the opposites, is it really does represent karma. You know, I killed you one lifetime, now you kill me. Or, you know, I don't know, you smirked at me and I'm going to smirk back at you. I mean, those kind of things, you know, this basic karma stuff, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of thinking. And for Libra, it's about going beyond the opposites and beyond karma, which is a step later I'll talk about, but it begins for Libra from being balanced. And that's a fine line when you think you don't want to squelch yourself, because again, we're talking about needing to assert what you want. But it's this idea of the drama of things. Like, let's take the example of the movies and my friend Marion wanting to go to the romantic comedy. I mean, it could be this big deal of the anxiety of asserting, and then what does my friend think, and oh my God. And, you know, instead of this clarity of, like, I'm learning to assert myself, I'm choosing to see this film, I'm accepting my friend will see this film and not the other film, or I'm choosing that even though I want to see the romantic comedy, I'm willingly going to see the other and I'm okay with it. Boom, clarity. And not having this whole emotional energy flowing back and forth. I should have went to one movie. Oh, no. And that's where you get when Libra is about the indecisiveness. Part of it is not claiming that one's side that they chose of the choice. So learning to just stop the mind from going back and forth, what would have happened if it did the other thing? And that's sort of the way for Libra, their ego really gets them crazy, is the other thing, the other thing, the other thing. So to be able to have spiritual maturity as a Libra to say, this is my choice and I'm sticking with it. And if it turns out I didn't like that choice, next time it comes up, I can make the different choice. But for now, this is it. I'm learning from it. I'm with it. I'm 100% in it instead of 50% here, 50% there. So on that, let's say, unevolved type Libra, or when you're feeling as a Libra unevolved, you're on the opposite sides of those scales, up and down and being a boom, like a seesaw. When you are in a spiritually more mature, spiritually centered space, you are the center, the fulcrum of that scale, that no matter what the edges of the scale are doing, you're in the middle. Like, and even learning to observe yourself in the ups and downs is part of being a Libra. Oh, look at me. I'm very upset that I'm in this movie and I'm worried my friend's angry. So being able to detach from the emotions and just watch the emotions go up and down, even though you're having them, be observing them. And that can be a trick that Libra can really benefit from. Another thing for Libra is, and this sounds sort of basic, but I found it to be so true with balance and with even moving into emotional and then spiritual balance, is physical balance. And I've just noticed Libras tend to physically have a lot of problems with blood sugar. And when your physical body, you know, kind of as above, so below, the physical body's going crazy, it's hard for the mind to not be crazy. So I often suggest for my Libra clients, I almost said patients, like I'm a doctor, the clients need to, as Libra, and that could be, again, sun sign in Libra, moon sign Libra, Libra rising, bunch of planets in the seventh house of the chart, which is Libra's house, this kind of thing, really need to let go of sugar and caffeine because they're overstimulating substances that make the body go, whoa, 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 and it makes the blood sugar go, whoa. And even eating like a high carbohydrate, low fat type diet seems to be terrible for Libras because they just go up and down so quick. Or even when we look at the glycemic index in foods, that sort of thing, making sure that there's fats in the diet seems so important for Libra. It's a soothing vibration for the body. It sustains energy better than sugar or, you know, like a fast-burning thing, like just eating a bagel and running versus at least having a bagel with full-fat cream cheese or butter on it, something that slows it down, slows the breakdown of the food. Because Libras tend to have food issues, tend to have body image issues too. But a lot of that comes from the ups and downs of the blood sugar. So really honoring that for yourself. Also eating regular meals, not going too long between meals. You know, that can also upset the blood sugar. And that's one thing to think when you're having an emotional crisis, instead of, you know, oh my God, I'm this huge problem. It's like, have I eaten? What did I eat? Do I need to look at my diet? And then you have clearer thinking. So your body is at that fulcrum of the scale. Then your mind can be at the fulcrum of the scale. Then you can work on karmic things. You know, what are my actions doing? What am I creating through these actions? And how can I be more clear in my decision-making and be more centered? The more centered you are physically, the more centered emotionally, the more you can really grow spiritually by looking at the impact of your thoughts and actions and all that. But that body's got to be centered. You know, so that's a great tip for Libras. Let's see. Another piece, and then let's talk about the decision-making for Libra, because I think this is, even in the best year, you're eating your healthy diet and all that, but I have found something that really, really helped me with my Libra stuff, because I got a lot of it, is doing a pros and cons list. And actually, this is something I think Ben Franklin kind of invented it, maybe not the first person, but he made it popular. And I have found as a Libra to go even beyond a regular pros and cons list. I mean, let's pretend the Libra, great Libra thing about relationships. And I have to say, it's funny because a lot of my Libra clients will come and they'll say, I know it's not all about relationships, but, like, they're embarrassed it's about the relationship. And I think for you, you're a Libra, it is all about the relationships. And it's okay because we're playing out karma in our relationships, and that's very spiritual. And we're learning lots of soul lessons through handling relationships and through asserting ourselves in the relationships. And that can be, you know, the quintessential Libra relationship, of course, is romantic relationships, but work relationships, family. But usually when Libra says relationship, they mean romance. But those are often the hugest karmic lessons for us. So, yes, it is all about relationships. So let's say the Libra person or any person having a, say you want to break up with somebody, but you're not sure. So I think what's great to have is a pros and cons list either way. There's the pros and cons, breaking up with a guy, not breaking up with a guy. So there's two lists, pros of breaking up, cons of not breaking up. Pros of breaking up, cons of breaking up. And even though it could seem a little repetitive in some of them, like the yes, I'm going to leave him, this is good, is part of the cons list of not leaving or something. But you know, it's interesting for a Libra to write these things out in black and white, because Libras, when they're trying to make a decision, can go over and over and over the same thing in their mind. And so when it's written down, and maybe each day in your meditation you write down, you know, the pros about leaving a relationship. You know, I'll feel better about myself because he doesn't like to ride horses, and I like to ride horses or something. The cons, I don't have someone to go out with on Saturday night or whatever. But then you can start to see how the list starts going, and that when you read it back to yourself, every day when you have meditation time, read the list over, over and over and over. Pros about leaving, cons about leaving, pros about not leaving, cons about not leaving. And it starts to build. The clarity starts to build. So when the rest of the day you start to, oh, God, or talk to the friend or whatever, say, wait, my truth is here. You know, I have to keep watching my truth. And then what I tell the Libra people to do is to go to the mirror and pretend it's 6 months from now. Like, let's pretend you want to break up with the guy. And you go to the mirror and you pretend you're talking to your best friend in the world. And you read each item on the list in the mirror as if it happened 6 months from now. Like, for instance, one of the cons might be, I didn't have someone to go out with. I broke up with Joe Schmo and I didn't have somebody to go out with Saturday night. And you look at yourself in the mirror and you see your own eyes and it's like, big deal, you know? Whereas I left the relationship and one of the things might be, I felt I had my dignity back because I left a relationship that wasn't good for me. And you read that not like a fearful could be in the future, but I did it. I've done it. And look in your eyes and really see the truth of what you're feeling. Because observing yourself is so important for Libra, and it's hard for Libras to do that. So that looking in the mirror, thinking someone else is hearing you, you know, putting yourself in the future, I have done it, it's done, rather than should I, shouldn't I, shouldn't I, really will help you see the truth. If you see in your eyes pain that you really, really miss this person, you can see it and say, you know what, I need to just go to marriage counseling or, you know, relationship counseling or talk to them or whatever. Or, you know, you can see in your eyes, too, if it was, I left him and I was lonely. And you look in your eyes and you go, so what? You'll see the so what. I was lonely, big deal. And part of the pros might be, I left him and I had space to draw in someone, a higher and better relationship. Or, you know, this kind of thing. I'm not saying every Libra should leave their relationship, but often Libras stay in relationships longer than they should. So I think this is a really good technique to do. And it could even be about taking the job, not taking the job, standing up to, I don't know, telling your kid they can't go to the party or whatever. You know, releasing sugar or not releasing sugar from your diet if you're trying. Anything like that, pros and cons list, did it, pros and cons list, didn't do it. Read it yourself in the mirror as if it was 6 months, a year after, some part in the past where you're telling a story about something that happened a while ago that you're fairly detached from now, and you're telling your best friend who's witnessing what you're saying. And you will see more about yourself than if you're just in your head about it. So that, I think, is one of the greatest things for a Libra to do. And let me just say a little bit more about Libra before we go into Venus here. Okay. I had a whole list here, the opposites. This is sort of a slightly silly one, but it's something I've often noticed with Libra people. Like, for instance, I have a Libra client sitting across from me, and I move my foot and I kick my toe on the table, and I say, ow. And they'll say, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, why are you sorry? I kicked my own toe. It's not like I kicked their foot was in the way, or somebody might say they're sorry, but Libra people should really look out at when they say, I'm sorry. And it's usually not an I'm sorry, like, I have a cold. Oh, I'm sorry. Like a compassion, I'm sorry. There's something about, like, I somehow was at fault. I'm sorry. And it's like, oh, wait, what? So just think about that as a Libra. If you have a lot of Libra in your chart, ask somebody to observe you. Like, you just said you're sorry, you know? Like, wait a minute. You know, the faults of the world are not on you. So I always think that's funny. It's always the Libra people that will say that. Okay. Let's say another thing about the relationships, because I've got to. And I remember having a guy friend who always had a lot of relationship drama. And, you know, all through our 20s, all the stories and all the girls and all the chaos. And, you know, how come the relationships aren't working out, blah, blah, blah. And then we were in our 30s and we were having dinner one night. And he said, you know, I've come to the conclusion that I don't really like relationships. I like the idea of relationships. And I thought, wow, that is a very amazing Libra quote. Because sometimes, you know, the actual nitty-gritty of the relationship can be very challenging for Libra. Especially Libra men tend to get into the glamour of the romance. They really can be romance addicts. And that can be part of the anxiety in long-term relationships when the romance is not as prominent. And then Libra can subconsciously create chaos to kind of stir up that butterfly in the stomach feeling that also, you know, fear, like kind of like that falling in love feeling is also related to tension. And so there's that idea of that Libra being the opposite, the first planet with the opposite and the tension of an opposite. And so watching out for, you know, what, you know, some people have coined love addiction, or the romance addiction and the thrill of flirting or conquering or something like this, instead of the real intimate eye-to-eye. True evolved Libra wants the eye-to-eye and the, you know, equal partnership, but sometimes there's that lower part of Libra that wants the crazy, you know, ups and downs and the thrills and spills of the beginning of the romance. And, you know, just like we're talking about the romantic comedy about, you know, they always have the fight and are they going to get back together? And, oh, then they finally do. And, you know, Libra gets addicted to that, like that plot of the romantic comedy that how are they going to, you know, come back together after the fight, because you know they're perfect together. So the some way Libra creates that over and over, and it's like, wait a minute. This is more not sort of being really in relationship. It's the concept of the relationship, which is equated with the romantic tension. So being able to move past that and release the addiction to romance to be able to flow. There are times of relationship having romance and a time where it's more regular or something. And to kind of flow with that, move with the ups and downs. And when we're talking about the opposites, you know, when we're in this body, we're not going to be out of the opposites, but again, just kind of flowing with the opposites. So you're, again, the center of that fulcrum of the scale rather than, and you watch the sides go up and down. And famous Libra, you know, and this would be a great meditation, I'm just thinking, for a Libra person. John Lennon was a Libra, and he had that great song, you know, I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll. I'm no longer riding on the merry-go-round. I just had to let it go. And that's like, wow, for Libra to be watching it all go doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. And I think he was talking about, you know, karma and reincarnation, all that too. But just for Libra to say, I'm no longer on the merry-go-round. Wow, you know, I'm just watching the merry-go-round. Isn't that interesting? They're all crazy, up and down and doing the thing. And it's so, you know, and that's just like, wow. So to be able to be okay that the relationships you're experiencing are going up and down, but you're not in the up and down. You might be kind of moving with the up and down, but you're not attached to, got to keep it up, got to keep it up, 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 up. Oh, I'm going down. Oh, no. And then, oh, I got to talk to all my friends in the world about that. I'm down. Oh, I'm going back up. And it's like, oh, da, 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 da. So the grace of that flow is where Libra is really aspiring to on an esoteric level. Okay. So now let's talk about Libra. Venus. Venus is the planet that we say rules Libra. It also rules Taurus, but we're just going to talk about maybe more in a Libran capacity, but a little bit both, actually. Okay. So Venus, on like the basic level, represents comfort, again, harmony, physical comfort, emotional comfort, financial comfort, definitely represents money and love and all these kinds of things on like kind of basic level. What's interesting, the planet Venus, and this is, well, I'll save that for later because it gets a little weird. Okay, it's a little more deep. So Venus, the planet, everybody has Venus in their chart. Generally, Venus, like if you are a Libra, Venus travels what we say, it travels close to the sun. So Venus is either in the sign that your sun sign is in, like say you're Libra. You're either Venus in Libra or you have it, the sign on either side, Virgo or Scorpio. And maybe depending on when you're born, you could have the sign before that sign. You could have Venus in Leo. You could have Venus in Sag, Sagittarius, but not some other random place. But what adds more dimension to anyone's Venus sign is the house it's in, because that'll add a shade of color and energy, and the angles it makes to other planets, and then, of course, the angles it makes to other people's charts, which we'll talk about later with some famous people talk about Venus stuff. Okay, so But Venus generally is close to your sun sign, and it represents how you expect to be in relationships. It can represent how you deal with money, and how you feel about intimacy. In astrology, both the moon and Venus represent intimacy and bonding. So especially looking at angles between the moon and Venus or other planets in the chart can show early bonding situations. Because when we're children, our first closest relationships are the parents. You know, difficult relationships with the mother or father, not in a Freudian sort of way, but just in a bonding sort of way, can be shown from the chart with Venus problems, quote unquote, which can then be the template for how we do romantic relationships. You know, because Venus also represents our self-worth. So it's like, well, my first instance of self-worth was how I was reflected from parents, and then I'm creating a self-worth, and then I'm bringing that forward when I start to get involved with people romantically. Venus can also represent, on that kind of note, same gender little friends in school or something. Like especially when you see, you look at your chart and you think, wow, I had these really challenging angles when I was a kid from other planets that were temporary. It's called a transit. It can be reflected, like if you were older, it could be getting a divorce, you know. But when you're younger, it could be some sort of trauma with school kids that can really shape your soul's direction. And you can have tremendous karma with little kids when you're a little kid. Because, you know, and you may never, like say you go to elementary school with somebody and you never see them again, because they go to different middle school, they move away or something, that person can have an enormous impact, as if you were an adult and you had a terrible relationship that marred you for whatever reason. You were cheated on and that started a whole thing or something. You can have stuff imprinted like that in your soul's growth from childhood, and you shouldn't negate it, you know, just because it wasn't a romantic relationship. If it was Venus being affected, it was deeply how you felt about yourself, and again, how you kind of created some sort of belief about yourself that was then dragged forward into subsequent romantic relationships. So you can even look how that would have been as a kid, or have your astrologer do that for you. And also I should take this time to take a little break and say, my name is Aluna Michaels. I'll give my phone number, 248-583-1663. That's my cell phone, and you can also text to that if you need to. My website is alunamichaels.com, and you can connect with me there. So there's Venus with all the relationship stuff. You know, another thing, we're talking about food and body image and stuff a little bit. We're talking about Libra. But Venus is also how you love yourself and how well you treat yourself. And so it can just show that sort of respect and honor you give your body, and also the dishonor and disrespect you give your body. So Venus can be a lot about addictions, especially food addiction and sex and love type addiction can be Venus. In a way, it can also be drinking and drugs, but that tends to be, some other planets tend to be involved there, but drinking in the sense of, you know, good wine and good friends, and it becomes, you know, more than that. Overindulgence is Venus problems. Or sometimes if with anorexic type things, the lack of feeling you deserve to be indulged. So those kind of issues of pleasure and worthiness of receiving pleasure, or trying to squeeze too much out of something that's pleasurable. So those are the kind of issues you might look at with Venus. So Venus can also, on a esoteric level, Venus represents the union of the heart and the mind. We tend to think of Venus as just heart stuff and love, but on the esoteric plane, it's more about having the mind be suffused with this divine love, this unconditional love and spiritual love. And by that same note, Venus represents our ability to, just like we were talking about this example of, if, like, say a kid in third grade really was terrible to you, your little girlfriend or same gender friend, and that really affected your feelings about yourself, And you might not have even remembered that or thought it relevant. But being able to look with kindness and on your past could reveal that and say, wow, I was really hurt by that person, or that person, I was the butt of all their jokes for a whole year, and that really affected me. So Venus can also represent past lives and the ability to see those past lives and how you are as you are. And not, again, in a critical way, but in a way that, oh, wow, like, poor little me. You know, I was really hurt by that situation. Or even, oh my gosh, I really hurt somebody else. So Venus can represent this sort of like the Christmas Carol or something, the journeying back to say, look who you were and how that affected others or how that created now. And where this comes from esoterically is the fact that Venus also represents desires when it represents pleasure, and that, you know, a lot of spiritual teachers, especially Eastern teachers kind of thing, will say that desires, watching the desires, because they create karma. So this is where this whole piece of karma and the past life and observing of karma comes in when we talk about Venus on this esoteric level. So, you know, for instance, let's talk about, let me just think about somebody quickly I can think. Well, let's just talk about George Clooney, because he's the person I want to talk about with Venus problems, Venus things going on. But let's talk about, say, someone like George Clooney. You know, say he was in a past life where he was a, you know, a third-rate actor in a crappy village, and he traveled around, there were terrible conditions, and no one cared, or he never got the part, and he was always, you know, the stagehand even, and not even getting to be the actor, and he would try to be an actor, but couldn't get any parts, and he had this strong desire to be an actor. Then he comes in this life being this enormously celebrated actor, and it's like, wow, that desire created this result for him. So the desire is, when we talk about karma as cause and effect, desire is the cause, and then the effect is, you know, what happens. And it may take a few lives of desiring and really wanting that to make it occur. And even in this life, if we desire, let's say, to be in the Olympics, you have to work at that. You know, you have to desire it really strong to, say, be the ice skater and get up at 5 in the morning for years and years and years and all that. So there's the desire of Venus. But, and I'm sorry, I've got the trash barrels going out if you're hearing noise behind me. So with this idea of the desires, it's like, what desires have I had in past lives that have brought this kind of thing to me? So this is where meditation and maybe some journal writing and understanding, and some of this people say, oh, I want to see my past lives. Well, it really comes when you're developing a sense of love and compassion for yourself and for others, because we're all stuck, let's say back to that John Lennon song, we're on that merry-go-round of, you know, over and over and over and over, and, you know, I'm trying again, and, you know, this one, and this didn't balance last time, because, again, we're talking about Libras balancing the opposites, and so Venus is trying to balance, and this thing balances, now this is out of balance, and got to go back to the drawing board, and how exhausting this is, and how much hurt can happen. You know, this one hurt me, I'm going to hurt them, and they're going to hurt me. And so this idea that you develop a sense of compassion for yourself for how many much struggles you've had in order to be happy and fulfilled, and how every other soul is really trying to get happy and fulfilled, and they're making a lot of mistakes along the way, and what makes me happy is making this one unhappy. Now we got to go around again and have a life where then they're happy and maybe I'm not happy. So this idea of the compassion of looking at the past and a compassionate curiosity about why are things as they are in my life? This is also the job of Venus in a spiritual way to start revealing these past lives and how what you wanted so much, you know, even like, so let's say this is a weird example, but maybe not so weird. Let's say somebody who has a weight issue in this life. You know, I wanted to lose weight, I want to lose weight. And then maybe having an understanding that in another time and place, and say, you know, say you're 30 pounds overweight. If you, you know, go backwards 500 years, someone 30 pounds overweight was very attractive because it meant you had enough food and you were rich enough to eat food. And somebody who was skinny was seen as poor because they weren't eating enough and they were probably poor, and that's not very, very attractive in that society 500 years ago, whatever that is, the 1500s or something. So, or even the, you know, 1600s. It's just, you know, beauty changes. And so you could have been in the 1500s going, I'm so skinny. I wish I was, you know, plump, whatever word you might use. I want to be plump. What I would do to be plump. And, you know, I think of Oliver with Food, Glorious Food, and those boys singing, you know, about just dreaming of getting fat, you know. And they, you thought about being fat and plump and happy and laughing, and you thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And now 500 years later, you get your desire fulfilled. And all you're doing is trying to go to Weight Watchers and lose the fat. And not that you should stay overweight if it's upsetting to you, but just to see that you could, if you maybe instead of, you know, trying to go on that diet, to see, wow, my desire created this. Again, this is the Venus, deeper side of Venus, is to say, wow, I really wanted to be, I probably, the fact that I'm struggling so much about losing weight and it's hard for me to, I just can't give up the extra portion. Well, if your soul was like starving in past lives and you've got an extra portion now, man, you're going to eat that extra portion until you really forgive the whole thing. Being able to meditate about releasing all of that, about times that you were too thin, times that you didn't have enough to eat, instead of hating yourself for eating too much. You know, because that 500 years ago person's going, what are you talking about, eat less? What are you talking about? You know? So to gain all of yourself and have a kindness toward that process. And generally when you're struggling with something in life, like even if you're single, let's say this example too of desires. A Venus type desire. I want a relationship, want a relationship, want a relationship, want to be in a relationship. Why am I not in a relationship? And let's say you're a woman who's not in a relationship. Well, let's say, again, maybe 500 years ago, you were in a marriage. You were forced into, you know, you're 12 years old and you get married off and to start having kids and clean some guy's house. And, you know, and the guy was busy working too. It wasn't like he was sitting on his butt. But you work, 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 and kids, 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 and another kid every year. And you're taking care of that one. And, you know, your whole life was working about kids and feeding them and taking care of the guy. And you thought, wow, I would love to not be married. I mean, you thought about it a lot. I would so desire to just live in a house by myself and have enough money to take care of myself with ease and not have kids pull out or whatever it is. Or you had a terrible marriage with that person and you thought, oh my God, I just wish, you know, I didn't have to be married. You know, that could be a desire then later gets fulfilled, and no matter who you're meeting, it's not working out. And here you are, not married, or, you know, single and no one pulling on you, and you say, I feel lonely. Well, and not that you should just say, okay, fine, I'm going to be lonely, that's that, that's my karma, but to balance out that desire, to go back, and this is going to sound sort of weird, this will also be how Venus would work with unraveling this, to say, you know, thank you, universe, I'm 30 pounds overweight. Thank you, universe, I am single. Because you want to address that the universe fulfilled your desire. If you're 30 pounds overweight and can't lose it, your soul really, really, really wanted to be plump. And you say, thank you, universe, for fulfilling my desire for being plump. It's not my desire today, but it must have been a desire before. And if you can release that and really thank the universe, you listen to me, universe, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now I want to let go of this desire, either way, to just release the tension around the opposites of it, fat, thin, married, single, and just to release that by first thanking the universe, you gave me the other thing, and now I don't want that thing, I want the thing from 500 years ago again, I want to be thin again, I want to be married again, to just release that whole tension around it can bring the fulfillment in a higher way. So you can move to a weight that's comfortable for you, who you are now. You can attract the relationship that is healthy for you now rather than pulling on, like, for instance, in this life, if you're forcing that relationship to come, you might end up back with that guy 500 years ago, and it's some weird karma or something. But to release the whole thing gently and say, you know, and working through that meditation, and even just saying, thank you for letting me be single. I'm ready to release the desire for being single, because there's a pull on that. And I'm ready to release the desire to be married, so that there's a flow that comes in rather than because the desire has that tension on it. And then you can actually have fulfillment without the struggle tension of the desire. So it doesn't mean you're going to settle for being 30 pounds overweight and single. Don't want to say that. I'm sorry, here comes where I live. There's about four different garbage trucks that come Monday morning when I'm doing this. So that's one part of Venus with this idea of karma. And another type of way to release that back and forth type of the Venus desires is to say to the universe, you know, take my karmic history, re-scramble it to what's going to really suit me as I'm evolving. You're in a higher consciousness than you ever have been. And to say, I don't want this, like, boomerang effect to keep happening. I want to draw from a higher source, a relationship from a higher source, a way of taking care of my body that's from a higher source, a higher motive, you know? Because somebody, let's even say with eating issues, you can lose weight from a strict diet that, you know, I remember hearing Alec Baldwin, who was having a weight issue, talk about when he was married to Kim Basinger, that he didn't want to gain weight, and he put a lock on the refrigerator, and that he would get up in the night to eat, and he would make her get up and, like, make pig noises at him, because he was going to be reminded that he'd be a fat pig if he ate. And it's like, what? You know, like, that's one way to lose weight, maybe. You know, put a lock on the fridge, feel humiliated by your partner. That's one way to do it. But you could also lose weight from, you know, thanking the universe for the food you're about to eat, and to add, and be really in touch with your body, and chew slowly, and say, have you had enough, body? You know, how are you feeling? And, you know, really looking at when you're going to eat. Am I feeling emotional? Am I nurturing myself in a healthy way? You know, you can lose weight, but from a completely different motive. So that's the idea of surrendering your karma so that you get needs met from a higher place. So, like, in both instances with the weight loss, you could still lose weight, but you're going to come about it in such a higher vibration if you're loving your body rather than humiliating yourself and depriving yourself. So, okay, now we're going to get on to an interesting Venus relationship set of examples. And I'll give my name again here. My name is Aluna Michaels, and my phone number is 248-583-1663. And my website is alunamichaels.com if you'd like a session or to ask questions. Okay, so I was thinking, what would be a good Venus type Libra maybe subject to talk about today, pop culture? And luckily for me, George Clooney got married a few days ago, who was definitely one of those confirmed bachelor types. And I thought, let me look at George Clooney. Not that I even know his story. I know he's a Taurus, but so let me go look him up and see what's happening for him, if he's got something that I can talk about on the show. And wow, sure enough, he does. So let's talk about him for a second and this whole thing, because, you know, this is a person who never was married. I mean, who knows if he's going to stay married, right? But to even bite the bullet and get married is huge for this person who never did get married before, and he's in his 50s. So I looked and said, wow, where's Venus? His Venus is at in Aries, and right now the planet Uranus is in Aries. And Uranus is the planet of complete and utter change. I mean, it's over-the-top change, 180-degree different thing. And let me get, just for people who know this sort of thing, okay, yeah, I was remembering, 13 degrees of Aries is his Venus sign. And so the planet Uranus has an 84-year orbit, and he's having Venus exactly conjunct or the same as his Venus sign. And this is a huge deal because what's funny about when you read about Uranus and Venus together, people can say, oh, you can get a divorce or you could shake things up because you want to be independent, relationship, you know, Venus is bonding and Uranus is independent. But for somebody who's been constantly independent and Uranus says, I'm going to give you a 180-degree turn, because if you're married forever and Uranus comes, it's like, oh, my God, I don't want to be married anymore. So people tend to think of it as a, you know, a scattered type relationship energy. But for somebody who's never been married, the most unusual thing that could happen is this person gets married. So Uranus has been here for a little while for him, and he's just in the thick of it right now. It takes about a year and a half. So it's real interesting to me that his consciousness would change that much and suddenly say, I want to be married. Now, just a little bit more about his chart that's interesting is he has his moon sign very close to his Saturn sign, and they're both in Capricorn. So the moon, again, is a bonding planet like Uranus, like Venus. And Saturn, so the moon next to Saturn just says, generally, like, I don't need people so much. The sign of Capricorn is related to Saturn and is also kind of isolated. So somebody with a moon in Saturn, generally not very emotionally needy, and or maybe they feel not worthy or something, but then the moon next to Saturn also says, you know, I can do it myself. And may see relationships as a burden. You know, like, I got stuff to do. And I don't want to take care of somebody's needs, especially a woman's needs. So it could be like, I have goals, because Saturn and Capricorn are both about goals. And I need to get stuff done in my life. So I don't mind being alone. My moon's in Capricorn, can meet my own emotional needs. The Saturn's there, don't even have any emotional needs. You know, and it could seem real cold to people. This idea we get into with him having, you know, being in these long relationships and like, boop, drops them, get somebody else. That can be, well, it could be an intimacy problem. It could also be a Venus in Aries, you know, I'm bored. But it can also kind of just cut off and just not be very emotional about it. Oh, that's done. You know, that karma's over, move on to the next piece. But on another level, Saturn is about wisdom and age. So you could say, you know, this person would probably do better having a relationship when he's older, having a marriage when he's older, because he's gotten a lot of goals out of the way. He's looking at things from a more mature vision and things like this. So maybe not surprising that when the Uranus comes when he's in his 50s, now I'm ready to settle down. Also, somebody with moon in Capricorn next to Saturn would think, you know, it's all or nothing. You know, I wouldn't marry unless I'm 100% sure, because I never want to be divorced. He would probably look at it like it's better to just keep being single and moving from person to person than to be married and divorced 100 times, because he could see marriage as very sacred and tradition, be a traditionalist in that kind of way. Also, there could be a sense of needing to see women as traditional. Because Saturn is the past and the moon is the past, and in Capricorn, sort of the past, this is the idea of like old fashioned values. And not that he wouldn't be a feminist, maybe, but he may really like traditional roles and women being a little more subdued, which then made me think, huh, okay, who'd he marry and who didn't he marry? So I went and I looked at the girl he married. Her name's Amal. I know her chart more than her name at this point. I'm looking at it. And I was like, huh, why would he marry her and not somebody else? So I thought, well, let's look at her chart. So this girl that he married, let's look her up here. I've got her chart here. What's interesting for her is that she has her moon sign close to her Neptune sign. So it's really interesting because she's probably very, and she also, oh, this is interesting too. She has Sun close to her Venus sign. So even though she's an Aquarius, which is independent, so even though she's not going to crowd him, it's Venus, which is more compliant, you know, which is that maybe she's not a pushover, but she may have a very soft side. So Sun next to Venus is, you know, Venus is softening the Sun, softening the ego, making her very friendly, very go with the flow. The Moon is the emotional needs, and there's Neptune there. So he's got Moon Saturn. It's got to be this way. And she's got Moon Neptune. Oh, okay. Neptune's very flexible. So, and plus her moon's in Sagittarius, which is a flexible sign. So I look at her and I know she's, you know, a lawyer or whatever, and she's her own woman. But there's a part of her that might be more traditional or not mind that this guy wants to be in charge. Okay, sure. You know, maybe she likes it. Maybe she's the sort of woman who says, you know, like, I know I'm a lawyer and I know I can do this and that, but I kind of want to be taken care of by a man, and that's okay. And she could have a thinking that's less, you know, she's born in Lebanon and maybe less Americanized in the sense of she wouldn't have to be a rabid feminist, like, I can open my own door or something. She might say, yeah, men open doors. It makes women feel good. And this is, she may be more, and I know nothing about her, so I'm just judging from the chart, that she'd be more acquiescing, that she would might say, you know what, I would love to stay home with kids. That's sort of a woman's role, and it feels comfortable to me as a woman to let a man be a man. You know, let him bring home the bacon. That's okay. I know I can bring home bacon too, but I don't have to. So as an Aquarian, she knows she can do it, but the Venus part for her and her gentle moon sign could say, let him do it, you know? And he's like, good, I want to do it. You know, I don't want someone trying to fight me on power. And not that he's a power monger, but he may like, again, a more traditional set of roles. And she seems to me, being from another culture, and just say, hey, that's nice, you know? I'm kind of tired of running the show. You know, you can run the show. It's okay. I know I can run a show, but you run it. It's okay. So I can see her being, I don't want to say she's a pusher, but gentler. And I said, all right. So I know he went out with this other girl named Stacy Keebler, who, let's see her chart. Why didn't he marry her? Well, he's moving into that Uranus transit. Well, Stacy actually is a Libra. Her moon sign, again, about bonding, she's got moon next to Mars in Leo. So Leo is, you know, me, you know, and Mars is very aggressive. And so somebody with moon Mars is very assertive about her own needs, very much, you know, wanting to be the queen. Not that she's a selfish, you know, whatever, but her energy is more, I'm the center here, you know. I want someone to revolve around me. I want someone to, you know, I'm going to assert my needs. I need it to be my way. Leo's a fixed sign. I want power in a relationship, you know. She is a Libra, and she's got the planet Pluto next to her sun. Pluto is linked with Mars, so there's an edginess there too. Power is important. I want to be recognized as powerful, and I don't want to bow down to nobody. So it's interesting to me that she is very beautiful. Their chart worked in other ways. And he might say, well, we'll just do this until it doesn't work anymore, because they had some nice angles in their chart. But ultimately, I don't think he would marry her because she's very, you know, if he wants a traditional sort of woman, traditional sort of gender roles that his chart calls for, it's like, she's not the one that's going to go and be traditional gender roles, because she's, you know, that kind of woman that would just see that as very offensive to play any sort of role like that. So she just would have been the fun girl, or, you know, not that he wouldn't take her seriously, but he couldn't take her all that way seriously. So it's really intriguing to me to see this. So for Uranus, for him to work with Venus to say, wow, women can really be like I want. You know, I can really be that man and that sort of old-timey man that I want to be, you know, that my father had or my grandfather, whatever, a comfortable role like that. And a woman can really play that. Really, a woman wants to desire to be taken care of, to let me be the man in the way I want to be a man. So for George and Amal, their charts really do work together to fulfill each other's desires of what they would want in a relationship. Where Stacy is just like, you know, it only goes so far, and then it's like, I don't like it anymore. So it's intriguing, again, well, probably pretty obvious to me, you wouldn't marry her. But what's so fascinating, too, spiritually, is that he would find this girl who he did marry, who would be unusual maybe in this day and age when you have a lot of feminists that just, you know, have to be proving that they're women and I can do everything or fight back or whatever's going on, that he's having trouble with finding the woman that in our society would be very unusual. And Uranus is very unusual. And then Venus says, okay, I can bond with this. I can, you know, be married with this person. So, you know, again, we'll see how long it lasts and everything. But she seems like this girl's a good match. And again, somebody with Moon and Capricorn and Saturn, and I will say that a lot of times people have Saturn issues. Oh, it'll never happen. I mean, Saturn has goals and a vision and doesn't usually settle for less than the best. So you can say that your soul is looking for that perfect situation and not just a, you know, getting me by kind of thing. It's like, I want the real thing. I want the best. And meditating for that. I won't settle for less than the best. So that was that experience there when I looked at his chart. And I've got 6 more minutes to go. And I just wanted to address a question that Mona asked. And hi, Mona. She was asking about how astrology can help children and parents. And we kind of talked about this a little bit with the relationships, you know, when people are young and looking at their Venus transits and Venus aspects. So I think for children, really, it's like, yeah, you are their world in a lot of ways at the very beginning. And looking at how you and your partner, how the chart interplays with the child's chart, is very important, and understanding those levels and even power issues, because there's a past life, I'm sure, at work here where maybe they had control over you. So you can look at power issues, why this one won't listen to or the other kid is fine with, you know, following directions from you. So there can be ways to work with astrology to see the past life patterns, to see the best way to discipline this child as opposed to the other one, and to see how not to minimize certain stuff going on with one kid. Because one kid could have a spat with a friend, it's no big deal. The other one is crushed. You can just say, hey, get over it. You know, you'll meet another friend. That one moved away, meet another friend. But seeing what is their Moon and Venus like? How are they, what are their bonding issues from past lives? How are they experiencing bonding and unbonding now? And being able to help them with that. So that's a wonderful way to use astrology, and especially when you have multiple kids and you need to treat them all differently because they're all souls with different souls history, and you may not have had each of them in you wouldn't, even they've had past lives with them, you might have had a life with just one of them at one point and another, or all three together, or all four of you if you get the partner, you know, all that. So there's all these layers of how one soul is different from another. And astrology can really help so you don't carbon copy. You know, you treat a kid this way. It worked for the first one. Why isn't it working for the second? So astrology can really reveal all of that. Another question from Brenna, and this will be my last thing and I'll sign off, is she was asking about when you read a generalized astrology thing, say if you're a Pisces, as Brenna is, she reads Pisces in a general deal versus getting a reading, how is it different? Well, when you're reading with an astrologer like me or someone else, they're seeing all of your planets. Your sun sign is just your sun sign. When you say I'm a Pisces and you're reading Pisces or Libra, you're reading Libra. But to see, like we're talking with George Clooney about, he's got the Moon in Capricorn, he's got the Venus in Aries, it's Saturn Moon, just that creates this huge dimension that a generalized horoscope can't give you. So that's where an astrologer can help you see all the multi dimensions of the way your chart is set up that is very, very singular to you and your spiritual journey. So again, my name's Aluna Michaels. My phone number is 248-583-1663. AlunaMichaels.com is my website, and I hope you have a wonderful month, and I will be back to speak with you at the beginning of November. We'll talk about Scorpio. Okay, have a great time until then. Bye-bye.